Shout out to everyone tuned in. We are here. We got John Muro. We got Jay Glees. The keynote's in the building.
Yeah. Hey.
Feeling good. Episode 5. What up, dudes?
What up, what up? Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
So, I know a little bit about you. I've been vibing with you guys almost a third of my life, knowing your songs, productions you've done.
Appreciate
you. Basically, even all the way from the Higher Concept, like 10 years ago or so. I remember I met Glees and with the THC in the city. And the beats are really dope, and I was following you guys for a while. And the evolution's been crazy, guys. So how's it feel?
It's been a ride, man. Like everything, yeah. You know? It's nice to look back, but you just try to look forward. And every day is just like grind, you know? Keep it moving.
I like that. I like that. So I know you both were doing your own thing. Tell me a little bit about how you each got into making beats or producing.
Well, I don't want to tell too many long stories because this guy can't really handle long stories.
Gotcha.
If you're trying to tell him a long story, he'll tell you, he'll just tell you, you know, hey, listen, I don't need to hear your life story. And you're like, oh, okay. All right. It's brutal. But yeah, for me, I mean, I'll keep it. The very abridged version has just always been into music. Started off rapping. It was not pretty. But like a lot of different things out of necessity. I needed beats out of necessity. So that's how I started getting into production and writing and stuff like that. And then, you know, fell into it like that.
Glaze?
I was a musician since I was 8. Played the trumpet. Got into production in high school. Fell more into that. And never looked back.
That's awesome. You spoke that so fast for someone that's been doing it for like 20 years. When did you get into the trumpet?
When I was 8, 4th grade. We had a good music program in our school, fortunately. So very grateful for that. I actually wanted to quit.
Really?
But I didn't, and I'm grateful for that every day.
Was it like your parents were just like,
yeah,
no, you
definitely
can't quit?
My parents didn't let me quit.
Shout out to the parents.
Thankful for that.
That's what's up. So how'd you get your first trumpet, was it?
My parents got it for me. It was a piece of crap. I remember. I mean, it was great, like, you know, for what I needed at the time, but I don't even have it anymore. There's no, like, cool story there. It's like probably, like, $100 horn or something, but...
Awesome.
Yeah, have a few since then.
So where are you guys both from?
I'm from Brooklyn, originally.
Nice.
I'm from Bethesda, Maryland. It's a suburb of D.C.
Nice.
Oddly enough, we're both connected here.
Yeah, Staten Island.
Sick.
Forgotten borough.
Trying to put it on the map.
That's
again.
Great.
And again.
Yeah, I think I want to say I met this guy. I met Chris first.
Okay.
We were working on Inspector Deck's album. Probably like 7-8 years ago, we were working on a record with Deck. And I met Chris. And Chris is just one of the most amazing people in the world. I love Chris. I think Chris is definitely like got a ton of, he's a visionary guy.
Positivity.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's a lot like you, and that you guys, I think, are just selfless. You guys just, when you throw yourselves into something, you do it all the way. There's no ego. I respected that about Chris and about you guys from the very beginning. And then Chris invited me to come through to HOD. And once you start coming over there, you just get sucked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I meet this guy and I'm like, wow, this guy's really freaking talented. Like, I need to be involved.
I know, like going to that space. I remember going to that space a while ago. And I was like, what?
People have only
got better and better. Like seeing everyone now, a little past their late 20s or 30s or so, people are like wowing me. And like, it's like most of the stuff I tune into is the stuff that you guys make. So shout out to everyone at the HOD.
We appreciate that.
From iBattle in the attic to the basement.
Yes,
tons of classics. That's awesome. What was the first record you guys like did together and you like, you had a vibe and you were like, oh, damn. Which one?
Something we did for Matt Bayless.
Yeah.
Talented singer from New York.
I want to say, I think it was Way Too Long. I think it was the song Way Too Long.
Way Too Long.
Yeah, and
got
I think
it.
That was me feeling like, hey, we need to bring in some other producers. We need to get some other sounds. and just thinking of him immediately and being like, this is the guy we need to bring in. You know what I mean? He's going to give it that sound. He's going to give it that outside the box thing that we're not getting. And sure enough, did.
Yeah, like, so you guys have done a bunch of records with Bayless. Yeah. He's gone a long way. Shout out to him.
Yeah, shout out Matt Bayless. He's doing his thing.
I remember that's how I heard about you, Flip. I think I kept hearing it from him everywhere I would see Bayless. And then I remember Paul Morris played a record, and it was, like, super dope.
Sick. Thank you.
And a lot of what I don't hear a lot of your records, but then I hear them somewhere else. Or, like, I'll be on TV watching a show, or, like, a commercial will pop up, and then I'll find out that's your stuff. Same thing with Glaze. Like, we'll be watching SummerSlam, we'll hear a track and be like, what? These guys made this. I know these guys. And, like, that's pretty amazing. So was there ever a moment you were like you ever have, like, a oh shit moment? Like, something just happened and you're like, damn.
Oh shit, in a good way or a bad way?
Yeah, yeah. I would say good. I would say good. Way. Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know about an oh shit moment necessarily, but I will have occasionally. It'll be really cool. Like, I'll get a text message like, hey, you made it to the big screen, and somebody will send me, like, a video of a record playing before they went to see Spider-Man in the movie theater or something cool like that. And that's, you know, that's definitely a really, really dope vibe. I mean, it's vindication to some degree.
It's a lot of little things, like, you know, they all pile up and you got to just kind of keep it in perspective, but also, like, be grateful at the same time. And you get a little bit numb to it, and you always want more. It's human nature. Yeah, yeah. So I kind of, you have to, you know what I mean, find a way to, like, be satisfied, but always still want to grow. So that's kind of, like, where I feel like we are right now, is in a rapid growth stage. So just trying to get more and more.
That's so dope. And I think you probably, I don't know if you guys even look at it like this. Tell me if you do, but, like, I feel like you're helping a lot of artists. Like, do you see it that way? Or do you see it just you working? Because I know a lot of artists that, like, when they get in the booth with you guys, they're like, they have this vibe, and they're like, they just start running from that point on, because they hear the quality of the beats. The production is amazing. You master it too, so they, like, get everything. So I wanted to shout you guys out, because you guys are, like, literally helping artists feel good. And people, because the people are playing, they're playing the music for their people. Their people are feeling it. I just feel like it's, like, a good chain effect that you guys are creating.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I think he would probably agree. First of all, I think we respect all of these artists that we're working with in their own right, and we think they're really talented too, and it kind of goes both ways, and we feel like without them, you know, like, we're all separate sides of the coin there that all comes together. But yeah, I mean, I think I hope we are helping. I hope we are doing something worthwhile with them, and we appreciate them just as much, I would say, right?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I mean, that's, like, a super positive way to look at it. That's a positive benefit of it. I mean, I'm just trying to make great art, so I can't even take credit for saying I'm trying to do it, like, to really help people and charity, but that's a great aspect of it, and it is rewarding for that reason. You know, additionally, in terms of everything else.
Yeah, completely
agree. Yeah, and just to be honest, like, Glaze, I play your beats, like, tracks that you made for people, probably half of what I'm listening to. It's kind of crazy. But, like, I'm listening to One Way Ticket all the time. I'm listening to Eddie I all the time. I'm playing all the exclusive Paul Morris that he sends me way before anyone. So, and I'm playing those songs over and over. So I just wanted to shout you out. Nice. Like, most of what I'm playing is your S-I-N-Y is, like, the opening track to this, the unofficial theme song of this show.
That's awesome. That's great. Shout out to Chris Valentine.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to him, man.
I got a question for you. You know what? I feel like sometimes it's a lot of the same thing that I do. We play a lot of our own music too. How do you stay current? A lot of the times we're playing our own stuff and keeping within the circle. How do you also stay current with all the other music that's, you know what I'm saying? How are you keeping, how do you feel like you're keeping your production current other than just standard referencing stuff or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
What helps us you get there?
I mean, we make a lot of records together, so I know you know the answer to that. You're just asking me for the sake of conversation, but
it's not true.
I mean, we get pretty scientific with it. We break it down, but I also think that today is like the best day in history to make art of any kind. I think there's a lot of open platforms and mediums that people can just make great songs and great music and not be too confined to having to like sound like this or sound like that, which I think contributes to like our approach. You know, it's like we're not really necessarily trying to follow the trend anyways, but it definitely has an influence. We listen to everything that's hot. I mean, you surf YouTube, but you know, it's not like brain science. I mean, I wish it were like more than that, yeah. But you know, we just listen to stuff and catch a vibe.
So like, how do you even, so where does this even start? Does someone tell you like, I want a track like this? Or do you have them all cooked up in like a pot and then you just serve them up?
Definitely
and
not.
Then they pick them.
We're more of like the custom tailor approach. And actually, what I really wanted to talk about was the keynotes, because that's what me and John are together. It's a new brand that we formed. It's kind of like the more exclusive version of the services that we provide. It's more of us like, we're coming at it together, trying to bring like a premium product that's tailored from scratch with the person. We do the writing and the production in the same room, you know, do this song over multiple sessions, multiple days, and get it right. And I think that's a service that's hard to come by in today's world, where I look at our competition is producers who have great tracks, great followings. I'm not trying to, you know, discredit them. It's just a different approach. And I look and, you know, they're selling $30 beats, you know, like, and they're getting by. Like, that's cool. That's just, you know, we take our craft a little more seriously than that, and we put in more time, and we really want to make quality stuff that stands out and it isn't just the regular stuff out there on the internet. So, you know, that we sit down and we incorporate that into everything we do and take our time and really customize it.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of where it starts also, I think it's kind of, I think that sometimes you don't really know. It could start anywhere. It could start with, you know, Josh sitting down and playing chords on the piano and me thinking of a melody or something. It could be me coming up with an idea while I'm sitting at home and calling him and being like, hey, I have a dope idea. Here's a little top line. Here's a couple chords. It could really come from anywhere. I think the inspiration is just the idea that, for me at least, when I now, especially nowadays, more and more, when I come up with something hot or I have an idea or I feel like inspired on something, like honestly, my first thought is like, let me do something impressive and bring it to him and show him like, hey, this is hot. What do you think? And then I kind of vibe off that. Like, I get energized by him being like, yeah, this is hot. That kind of like,
it goes both ways. I mean, we've never actually really talked about this before. I feel like there is some type of like healthy competition where we want to make something that inspires the other person.
Yeah.
Having that to bounce off of is definitely a big part of it too. And I'm always thinking like, I got to make this hot so that it inspires John. He's probably thinking the same thing. And then, you know, two halves are more than a whole sometimes. We come together. It comes from both directions. Sometimes he'll start it, I'll start it. People come in with an idea. Like, when, you know, we might work with an artist like Matt. He comes in with something, and then we take it from there. So any and all ways.
I think that's some dream stuff right there, because I think you give people a comfortable vibe. You're not just giving them a beat and saying, all right, come back with the bars. I liked it. You're literally like custom tailoring them something to really love.
I think that's what he was alluding to, was the idea of being able to, and maybe that's a little bit about what you meant before too, in terms of trying to push the artist further than maybe outside of their comfort zone a little, maybe provide more than just, you know, here's a beat and go ahead and do your thing. We really do appreciate and enjoy being a part of the record and a part of the full process. Finding a sound, right? For the artist, for us, for that. That is, to me, is my favorite part, is the most fun.
I think that's so dope too. And I think the world we live in now, it's like, you could look at an OG like Kenny Rogers, get inspired, and then you could look at like someone really new. I don't know, Bieber. It's not too new, but you know what I mean. You could, everyone kind of adds their own thing to the pot, and I think that's so cool that you guys could be so diverse, because every track I've heard from you guys is not pretty, you wouldn't even know that you guys made that next song. Like, it, the quality is there, but the vibe is, it's new vibes every time. So I think that's really cool that you could just do that. I think that's really cool. It's what's like a sound that you're really vibing now? Like, if you could you call your sound anything?
It's a good question.
Kind of, it's an artist by artist thing. Goes back to the, I mean, the previous thing you said about, you know, no two tracks sounding alike back to back or whatever, because it depends on the project. So yep. I mean, we definitely have our own taste. I think we're into, like, you know, a groovier dance, like bluesy type of funky thing, but, you know, throwback 80s.
But we love hip hop also.
It all goes around. Like, you know,
I grew up listening to Billy Joel and everything from, you know, I mean, Tupac to Billy Joel to Nirvana to The Doors to, you name it, I listen to it. I don't know what, I mean, this guy's classically trained, essentially. He's a jazz musician. We have a lot of really, I think we just love all different types of music and try to incorporate it all.
I see that. I definitely see that. Are there, I'm trying to think. Looking back now, I know, like, as you said, you're moving so quick. Things are happening, and, like, you're just hungry for the game. And, like, honestly, I feel like as long as the game, you've been in the game so long, I feel like technically, I feel like you're starting just now, too. I feel like you're just getting in a zone that's, like, going to take you to even newer places. And I feel like, now that you're together, this new energy is like you starting again, but now you have all this knowledge. So it's like, I always say, I'm like, damn, I wish I knew everything I knew.
You're an inspirational
now.
Dude. I just gotta hang out with you more often, bro.
I wish I knew what I knew when I was 15, what I know now. I was like, I would go into situations ready. I wouldn't let this person play me. I wouldn't let this happen. So I feel like it's so cool now that you're starting to, you're like not starting, but like, you're maybe 2-3 years in the game, and you guys are still so young. So, like, it's so cool to see.
Definitely appreciate that. Love is love. I think a lot of that stuff you're talking about is what you kind of get there because of that stuff, right? Like, those successes and failures and mistakes and learning experiences and fears and overcoming them and all that. Like, that kind of gets you.
Gets you to enter the pro arena.
Yeah.
Failure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how I look at it, because like, I mean, we've been doing this for 15 years, but as far as like really getting real action that's like visible, you know, like you said, a couple years. So it is cool to jump up into that and have a new perspective, you know. But it's like, we've been working together for years, the same thing, but just with the new energy, I guess.
Yeah, that's sick.
And now it has like a little bit more of a focused goal. Now it's kind of like, you know, hey, let's focus on X and try to get to that next level. And these new experiences of being able to have some, you know, whatever success you want to call it, that I think has taught both of us a lot as well, and set us up to be in a position to feel like this does kind of make sense. You know what I mean?
I definitely know what you mean. I think it's so cool that, because I see a lot of people like really going in, but I don't necessarily always see them going in working. And what I see with you guys, like every time I see you guys, you're working.
Josh, which is a workaholic.
It's weird seeing him out here.
Yeah. I can't even take that away from him, you know? I think that's one thing, to be honest. Like, I respect the shit out of the fact that you do.
Yeah.
You work the way you do. But I think sometimes I think artists and producers and people, one thing I would want to stress is that I think sometimes people put a lot of pressure on themselves to be like, if I'm not doing this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, nonstop, I can't do it at all. I quit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a great strategy. I don't know. You may disagree. I know you go super hard.
There's a balance. I mean,
right.
It's not what, you know, it might appear I work all the time, but I do other things. But, I mean, regardless, everyone's got their own place on the spectrum of, like, how much time they want to put into stuff. But the bottom line is that nothing's going to propel you forward other than action.
True.
So you got to put in that work one way or another. And so, you know, you just got to find your life balance, you know, wherever that is. So there's no right or wrong. Everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, it's all about balance. I just feel like it's, I hate to see young artists give up, or producers, or folks who are in a position to do something and they feel like, I can't do it literally nonstop, so I'm never going to be able to do it, or I should give up. Nah, man, just work hard and hang in and get yourself to a place like him, you know, set yourself up.
I did it on the side.
For how many years until you get to that place?
Yeah, how many years?
There was a time I waited tables for like 3 or 4 years, and then I got lucky through a connection and got a job at an indie label. Shout out to T-Rex Productions out west.
Yep.
But, you know, waiting tables allowed me the time to work in the restaurant 3 days a week and work on production 4 days a week. So if you can get some type of balance like that, then you're on your way. It doesn't have to be all the time. I think John's right.
Yeah.
But you still got to work. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That was a full schedule, you know, put it in. But.
Hell yeah.
What advice would you give to someone? Just say they're like, they just got their MPC and they're like, oh, I'm going to be the next.
First of all, sell the MPC, get a laptop.
Whatever. They get their GarageBand set up or Logic.
You can do a lot with GarageBand, yeah.
And now the kid's just like, he's starting today. Like, what would you say? Like, you meet this young kid, and what gem could you give him? I know you can't teach him how to use the software today, but like, what would you tell him to kind of roll with from this point on? Like, what could he? I don't know. You tell me.
I feel like that's the, like, what we were just saying is almost the best advice that personally I feel like you give every single, you know, again, not to reference whatever limited success we've been able to have, every record that I have ever done personally, and I think you'll probably say the same, everything I've ever done, whether it was on TV, whether it was in a movie, whether it was a signed artist, whether it was an indie artist, anything, good, bad, or ugly, I've done in a fucking bedroom or a basement or a garage. Like, we're not in $1 million studio every day. So my thing is, don't give up. Work with what you got. Don't be surprised. You know, talent and drive can take you way further than having $1 million or a dope studio or whatever. I've seen guys with the dopest studios, you know, and they're not churning out what we're churning out of bedrooms and basements. So to me, that is something that really, really is important to me. I don't know if you could say the same.
Like that.
Yeah,
thank
I definitely you. Think it's not the tools, it's the carpenter. That's the expression that I think John's trying to say, and I agree with that. You know, we all have access to the same tools, the software. I mean, you can get it off the internet, buy it. We all can access the same tools. That's all I'm saying. Like, it used to be that a compressor would cost $75,000 and a console would cost $250,000. So anyways, we all have that level playing field there, so use it to your advantage. And then the other thing is just put in the work. Like I said before, I mean, John mentioned talent, but I'm more about like the 10,000 hours. I think there's a degree of talent involved. You have to be able to like hear pitch, and that's something you're born with. But, you know, put in the work, make beats, just make them for yourself. Just put in the time, because you're not just going to be put in the room with Rihanna. You know, you have to get there by climbing the ladder with all the people around you and find an artist, work with him for free. Until you have something to show the second artist that you then charge, you know, $15 an hour. Then the third artist, you charge $30. Now you have a whole catalog, you know, it's just build it like that.
I like that.
You never know what that stuff leads to. I mean, I think we're definitely saying a lot of similar thing, because I agree. You never know. Sometimes you think, like, I'm in a basement, or I'm in a garage, or I'm making a record with a local guy or whatever. And you think in your mind, like, oh, this is some bullshit. I'm never getting you. But the truth is, you have no idea what that stuff can lead to through any number of possibilities that can turn into something else, whether it's a relationship, whether it's the record is insane, especially now with the internet, with these things. You can just do stuff. You know, we shot YouTube videos with an iPhone that have gotten 1 million hits. You know what I mean? Like, it can happen.
I like that. I like the carpenter one. I like doing what you can with what you have.
Yeah.
I like the work ethic. And it's true. Everything you're saying, you're doing.
And there's some talent involved, because this guy's a genius. So don't, he's just being
modest.
Yeah. Oh,
man. I'm all right. Think it helps. Yeah.
It helps.
What the fuck is talent anyway?
What's your outlook on, if you can't do it, asking someone else to help you and getting it done with them?
Yeah, well, I think it speaks to the partnership. Partners. I mean, we can both make records independently, as you'll see on a playlist or whatever the songs. He's got records, I got records, but it definitely helps to get over certain humps, and
and we also we have different strengths that complement each other well. So having the right team and delegating to the right people, I would say, is the key, and not just to just anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And it's collaboration to me. I mean, it depends on type of personality. Some people are enjoy it more or are better at it than others. I enjoy it a lot. Like I said, I feed a lot off the energy. If I'm in there doing something and he's going, yeah, that's the one. Like, that helps me. And I think you probably feel the same way. Like, we're pushing each other in those directions. And I think when you're competing with people, you think about, I think I would tell young people, you know, young guys, like, don't be scared of that, because for 100 years, when a band gets together, one guy plays the guitar, one guy plays the drums, one guy's the lead singer. You can't do everything. Exactly. You can't be the producer and the guitar and the bass and everything. Everybody, when they come together and they start jamming, something special happens. And that's kind of how I look at this thing, like the production, the writing, all of that. Everybody, if you can bring value to it, I want to work with you. I want to know you. We both do, I think.
I really respect that. That's awesome. Also, I feel like, I think a lot of people, they hit this glitch. They're like, I don't know if I'm going to put the song up. It may get stolen. Or I feel like this may, they put may take out my melody. So, like, what's your outlook on, like, putting it out in what way? Like, giving it to an artist to put out, or having
however
it on, like,
however you can get it out, upload it to YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want to do. Yeah, put it out. Just whatever. If you can get an artist to cut it, if you can't get an artist, if you think it's great, put it out. However you got to do it. You know? You just never know. I would not hold on. It's not the old days. I feel like 20 years ago there was a thing like, oh, don't give the records away, hold them. Listen, piracy is there. People are going to steal shit. Nobody's going to pay for it. It's fine. At this point, that's not how you're going to build your brand. If you hold that music and you don't put it out and you're like, oh, I need to hold this so close, no one's going to know who you are. No one's going to know what you're doing. You might be doing the greatest. Somebody, the first producer I was ever in the studio with in my whole life personally, he told me, he had a deal back in the day. I don't remember. He was in like an 80s hair band and he had a big deal and all that. And he said to me something like, the greatest drummer in the world is in his basement somewhere and nobody knows who he is because he's too scared to put his stuff out, or he's too, like you said, worried somebody will copy him or jack it. Put it out.
I like that. I like
that. On that same note, even going back to what I was saying about the accessibility of music production, productions used to cost a lot more money, so it would have been, you know, a lot wiser to hoard your product. It might have cost $50,000 to make an album. You know, now you can get it done if you know how to do it. You know, yeah, I mean, you could do it yourself. Who, it doesn't matter. But bottom line is, you can make another one tomorrow. Keep it moving. Get it out there. And if you're really talented, I guess that is where I do believe in talented, is because you got to be able to reinvent and do it day in and day out. If it's a one-time thing and you only have one good song, then there probably isn't much hope anyways.
Got it.
I think I only have one good song, so.
You haven't made it yet.
I haven't made it yet.
So,
right?
I guess another thing that is always interesting is the whole discovery process. So, do artists find you? Do you find them?
Both.
If you see one, do you approach them? So, like, just say you're a new producer in the game and you want to work with this guy, like, what would you recommend?
Hit him up. Yeah.
Email, Facebook, do you? I love Instagram message, to be honest.
Instagram is what I was going to say. People seem pretty accessible on Instagram. It's tough, like, hitting people up. I always feel like whoever reaches out kind of has, like, less leverage in the situation. So, depending on what you're trying to get out of the situation, it could work against you. But if it's somebody who you know really want to do something with and are willing to, like, lend your services for, like, free and, like, do a favor for you, have a much better chance of trying to land something.
Exactly.
Like,
gotcha.
Hitting people up.
I mean, I've taken chances with certain artists. Like, I took a chance with Matt. I literally found him on the internet and I saw, hey, you know, this guy's ridiculous. And I just assumed, okay, somebody must be working, you know, this guy must have somebody working with him. My girl at the time, I asked her, I was like, you think I should hit this guy up? Like you said, I had that same feeling of, like, am I going to look kind of like, you know, giving up a certain amount of leverage or whatever? She was like, man, hit him up. And I did. And it turned out great. You know, in the end, it was a great fit. Like, you know, sometimes you do meet good people and really talented people and you click with them. And that can definitely happen. But it's both. a lot of artists I know also, I've met them through a mutual friend. Somebody will introduce because they'll go, oh, I heard Glazer stuff. It's fire. I heard I heard everybody. You know, I heard this record. It's great. You got to meet my friend. They're a singer or a rapper or whoever. And then the more artists you work with, artists always know artists. So they're introducing you to other artists.
Got it.
Sometimes you're doing special stuff. You know, Josh works more was working more on a for hire basis where you could come in and hire. I'm really more like a little more specialized. I'm not necessarily for hire. I'm more working working with artists that I really believed in.
Got it.
Josh was kind of splitting his time sometimes for hire, sometimes working with just projects that he was really, really digging. And sometimes those things overlap. Like sometimes all of a sudden you think, all right, I'm going to work with this artist for hire. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's calling me, hey, this guy's incredible. Like, you know, we need to really, really try to dig in and do something special for them. He's great. He's great at finding talent also. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think people just, at this point, we have a lot of stuff floating around the universe. You know, a lot of people find us and,
People inbound for you.
There's different types of collaborations, like John was saying, and we kind of have different business models in our independent production businesses. But at this point, our circle is pretty full also at the same time. So we're kind of trying to build with like our team right now, not really outwardly looking for new people to build relationships with, because the hardest part is the relationship, you know, being able to vet people and know that they're going to be able to gel in the long run and keep a good head about them. And like, these are more the things that we're looking for in our artists. So it's like,
got it,
could be an uphill battle trying to like entice somebody with a huge ego, you know. It's like not really what we're after sometimes.
I guess that's another question. What's your whole idea of like networking? Because I guess you're a little more seasoned, so you said you have like a steady flow, you have artists that are like, you know, you're working with, you're their guy, you have all these clients. Do you go out and like try to find time, or are you just at a point where you're like busy cooking up all the stuff with your
people?
I'm
pretty bad at networking. I think that it comes at a sacrifice because of putting in the work. Like, I've always believed that burying myself in the studio will get me where I want to go. And I still stand by that, you know, like I keep saying, just work on music and you'll get where you want to go, and it's held true. But it might be to a fault. Like, who knows if I'd be further along if I did go out and network traditionally more, or even like,
got it,
social media is something I've been like into for the last 6 months, but I could have been in it for the last 6 years and about it. And I still reluctantly like drag my feet through it. It's like, it's cool, but it's not as like, it's constant work. You can't just do it like, oh, I did social media today. Like, bro, you do that. Because
then you got those
10
DMs
like,
back that you were on that DM hunt, hitting up singers, and then they all hit you back. And
well, not even just posting. Posting is like the simplest thing, which sounds like, oh, that's fun to post on Instagram. It's not. It's work for me. Everybody's got different, you know, interests, but it's great. Like, at the same time, I really love social media. I think I embrace technology in general. Like, I think it's, like I said, no better time to be an artist, but no better time to be alive. I'll even say that. I said it.
True.
Even with all the bullshit going on, but without getting into too much of that. But like, I think, you know, there's a million schools of thoughts, there's a million approaches, and you can't get too bogged down. It's just like anything, just do it, do whatever you're comfortable with, follow the passion, talk to people. But it does come back around, and you got to do it for a long time. You can't do it for 2 years, because
you won't get
the network. I mean, the network I might have now is just because of the amount of time.
You've been in the studio.
Man with this says hard work.
I agree.
And I am, for whatever that's worth, I am always looking for talent. So if you're talent, please hit us up.
So what do you
always thinking?
So I guess this is a question too. What do you want to, if someone hits you up and they want to work with you as the producer, what do you want to see come in that DM or come in that email? Do you not want a DM? Do you not want an email? Do you not want a Facebook DM?
I don't care.
How do you want it packaged? Or do you want one song? Do you want 20? You want a link to their WeTransfer with 40 songs? What your ideal like gem is when you see it in your email and you're like, oh,
well, here's a good thing. Here's a product of our partnership that I think is a really good thing. We both had slightly different approaches in the past, and now I think we're blending those approaches, and it's working really well. But I know Josh is always does care about seeing artists. You don't have to have numbers or stuff like that, but I think it's attractive to see somebody who cares about their career. Like, he's somebody who's pushed me to say, because I would just look for straight talent. I don't care. If I think you're dope, oh my God, come in and work. You know what I mean? Like, I'm into it. I feel like I can do something for you. I can try to push it forward, whatever. But he has a really good point. You know, you want to see artists that are doing something, at least just enough. They care about their own career. They're trying to do something. They're trying to make records. Even if the records are not great, even if, like you said, you're in your basement, you're an amateur, that's okay. That stuff comes through. I think if you're doing something and you have talent, whatever that something is, for me, that becomes attractive. And like I said, he's pushed me down that route of not, you know, being a little more discerning. And I like to think I push him a little more to be like,
nice.
If somebody's talented, let's take a chance sometimes, you know?
Awesome.
I think we both go back and forth because there are times when John is a numbers guy and I'm like, I got a good feeling about this,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like there's definitely times. So, but I am in full agreement. The one thing I would look for is I would want to just be linked to their socials, you know, let me see what's on their YouTube channel, their SoundCloud channel, Instagram, whatever it is. At least one or three links, you know, to things like that. If they have some unreleased stuff that's brand new that they're really proud of and it's not out, they could always, of course, send like one to three of those, you know.
Got it.
Private links.
So three is a good amount.
You can tell a lot by
three links and three tracks.
What someone has
you could kind of view.
You know? Unless, I mean, there are people that are brand new that have never put music out and, like, you know, without overgeneralizing, I don't think that they're a great fit to work with us unless they're like super talented and undiscovered. But,
you know,
to cut your teeth and never have recorded before and get in the studio with, like, you know, professional people, it's just
got
like, there's a lot of work that can be done before you even spend the money on production. Like, and I'm somebody who sells production services. I'll be the first to tell you, like, go get GarageBand. You can get that on your phone, like record some demos. Like, if you come into the studio with 10 hot demos, you're already hitting the ground running, like a million light years ahead of these people that come in with nothing and just want to like make a song. So
there's
so much accessibility today. Use it to your advantage.
Even just having some experience behind the mic and stuff. You know, we've definitely done stuff with people that were really talented but just didn't have the experience recording or didn't really have that comfort level. And it takes a lot. And you don't want to be in there paying a premium to be recording, to be learning how to record, you know?
Got it.
So I get where he's coming from.
Got you. All good. That's all good stuff. I always like asking a bunch of questions, like the what ifs and the who's and what's. So I guess I'd like to ask you this. People, if you were to collab with another, I'll ask you a bunch of questions. If you were to collab with another producer, who would it be?
Josh Glazer.
All right. That's not in your circle. Like,
that's
maybe
not
someone.
One, that's not one
it could
us.
Be anyone. Yeah.
I mean, on the mainstream front, I'm a big Calvin Harris, Diplo fan.
Nice.
Guys like that. Flume's killing it. I mean, we're trying to get on the radio, people, you know? Zed.
He's killing
it.
You
guys are all killing it right now. And I respect them. They're making really hot, popular music, but I really respect the music. It's really good stuff.
I agree. What about if you could collab with an artist that's no longer living? Who would that be? Both of you guys.
Big L, rest in peace. Yeah, nobody knows about Big L. That's some underground 90s.
Shout out to Big L.
Knows about Big L. Come on. That's a really tough question. I don't know. It's got to be, I want to say, like, there's a lot, but I want to say it's got to be Biggie or Tupac. Like, one of them would just be, and it's so legendary. And I grew up listening to both of them so hard. Having their posters on my wall, I have to say one of them.
We have a question from Chris. She's a producer. And what is your experience with remixes? Asking someone to do a remix or someone approaching you?
Well, I think we definitely both probably have a little bit to say. I would say two things. The first thing is it depends on what level you're at. If you're sort of starting out, then remixes are a really good way, I think, to kind of, like you're saying, cut your teeth on them, kind of learn, you know, a lot of times you get those professionally recorded vocals and you get a song that's a hit And you can kind of learn from doing that, from reproducing a hit or trying to work around that. You'll learn a lot from that. In terms of just straight doing remixes, if you're getting hired, it's got to be like an official remix. Otherwise, you have a lot of problems. To me, I feel like you have a lot of problems uploading them to the internet because they'll get copyright strikes and stuff like that. And then all your hard work is like for nothing. So we've definitely done a few. Some of the ones we've done have been official remixes, stuff for ESPN, stuff for Universal, stuff like that. And even those, I can tell you personal experience. I had a remix that we got hired to do by the label. It got copyright striked in 30 seconds. I put it on SoundCloud to start to get it ready for the website that we're putting together. And I had to call the label and be like, hey, can we please have permission to put this? And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. And we got lucky that, you know, it's not super high profile and we're able to do something like that. But that to me is the only challenge with remixes. But, you know, Josh and One Way Ticket really started doing incredible remixes, which kind of set the ball rolling. So maybe he has different insight on it.
No, I think he nailed it. It's kind of like this day and age, it's all like automatic algorithms that flag it and they'll just rip it down. So unless it's an official remix, your time might be better spent elsewhere. Now, if you have like no artists around you to make original music with, then I think it's a great way to practice until you can show somebody something that will get you an artist in the studio. Or if it's like for a friend and it's underground stuff and it's not on a major label and it's just a hot record, like that's a great reason to do it.
And just to, you know what, just to make sure we didn't sort of misunderstand, if you're talking about somebody approaching you to remix one of your songs or an artist coming to you and asking for a remix of their song where you know that it's not going to be any problems with that kind of stuff, then absolutely, you know, jump on it.
Yeah, definitely don't be afraid to give your song to people if that's what you're asking about. Print the stems and see what happens, because a lot of times the remix will be bigger than the original and then you still own all the publishing. So
and you're doubling your sort of opportunity for success, because somebody liked the original, somebody could like the remix, you never know.
Twice as much content out of the same amount of work never hurt.
I like that.
There's a lot of variables, as you can see. So it depends. It's a broad question. What do we think of remixes in general? Could be good, it could be bad. You know, it really depends on all these factors.
Chris, and I know you DJ too. Shout out to Chris for starting this with their honey bun, Tom. Play them out too. If you make one, play it while you're out and see the response. The fact that you're a DJ, you have that whole advantage of seeing what people feel and act and do when you play a record. So that's super dope too.
I love that. That's great.
So you said Big L, of someone you would collab with who's not alive.
Biggie and Pac.
Or Big Pun, big favorite. Pun. I mean, these are all rappers from the 90s. I'm trying to think what other...
That's good. I really didn't... I was expecting like a pop, pop answer.
If I had to answer that from a pop perspective, I'd say Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury. Got it. Who's an artist that doesn't speak English that you would collaborate with? Or like that has bilingual music?
That absolutely doesn't speak English. I'm not totally sure, but like somebody who's maybe bilingual.
Yeah, I mean, bilingual we could do.
There's a lot of really dope bilingual artists out there. I mean, it's a good question. Who would be like at the top of that list? I mean, I like Daddy Yankee. Shout out to Matt Bayless and Mike Cash. They did a couple records with Daddy Yankee.
Nice.
I mean, those are, you know, that's a guy that I would definitely be into working with. I think he's got some dope stuff.
He's dope. What's your go-to... what's a go-to beat making software?
Yeah, I use Logic. He uses Reaper, right?
Yeah.
Sick.
That's our DAW. I mean, within that, I use a lot of Kontakt.
Dope.
Silent.
Sick.
Probably do a whole track with Kontakt and Silent and be straight.
Yeah. A lot of third-party libraries too, like more so. That's actually funny. I feel like that's how me and him really vibe more. Like we're kind of like nerds, or at least we were, with the tech side. Like I feel like we used to just talk about gear and plugins and that kind of stuff so much. And that was like a big part of our like initial vibe. I didn't have anybody personally to really talk about that stuff with that either understood it on that level or was excited about it on that level to be like, oh yeah, did you see this new reverb or something like that? Nope. That everyone else is just looking at us like, what's wrong with you guys?
What's a good website for a producer to get insight?
Pensado.
Yeah, Pensado's place. This dude Dave Pensado, he's like an OG, you know, Michael Jackson credits and stuff.
Nice.
And he's got a talk show on YouTube where he interviews other engineers. So it's like
nice,
super relevant questions. He'll be like, what kind of mic did you use on this Rolling Stones record? And like,
nice,
crazy thing. So you can get a lot of insight out of that.
How do you spell that?
Dave, P-E-N-S-A-D-O.
Yeah, Pensado's place on YouTube.
Pensado's place.
That's dope.
It's a great show. I used to watch everyone. I fell off. I mean, he's been on the air for years. There's probably 300 or 400 episodes by now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Put in the work.
Yeah.
Consistent.
It's crazy when you look back, but I mean, these guys are evidence of it because I remember their first shows were like really low budget, really bad. They just kept building and building and getting more people involved, more subscribers. And like after doing it every week, like I said, hundreds of shows. It just marks like 5 years or something. Wow.
They're partnered with NAMM and all kinds of stuff like that now. I mean, those guys are doing it big.
That's good. Thank you. Those are good. That's good insight. What's a good website to get gear from?
It's hard. It's like, you know, you want to say like Gear Sluts and all the usual, you know, Bedroom okay. Producer and that kind of stuff. I think if you're going to read that stuff, just read it with a grain of salt because it's the internet. It's like everything else. You got to always remember it's like people on the internet, you don't know. There's a level of anonymity that separates you. People feel real comfortable saying whatever they want to say. You don't know who's on the other. It could be a 12-year-old kid. It could be a 30. It could be some guy who has platinum plaques. It could be somebody who literally never played an instrument or, you know, touched a track or a DAW in their life, and they're trying to tell you, well, this is the best compressor you could buy. I don't know. It's like you could work with anything. You can work with the stuff that comes free in the DAW for the most part and be 85-90% of the way there.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So it's hard to say. Those sites are good. I think I like a site like Bedroom Producer because they'll just kind of put you on the like free plugins and stuff that you can get more than try to be like, oh, this is the best of this or, analog versus digital. Like you get sucked into those conversations.
Got it. That's all good. So what's it called? Gear Sluts?
I don't even really listen to that. Just, it's not the...
Where do you learn? Like, tool. Do you learn anything or do you learn just from doing? Do you pick up a book? Do you
practice, man. Practice. Just practice. I ruined a lot of mixes before I made good ones. You know what I mean? I think that's the underlying theme of just putting in the work and experimenting. And I like to think I'm still growing and experimenting and getting better. So
I agree.
You know, it took me like 5 or 10 years to start turning out good mixes. That's not like a little bit of time, you know? Like, I mean, my stuff was always average, but I mean, there were some bad ones. I'm not kidding. But, you know, you just got to keep practicing. You can read all you want, but if you don't put it to practical use, I don't think you're going to get very far.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And be good at taking, you know, for me, be good at taking, like, find yourself a Josh Glazer, you know, or a John Hero or somebody, because we bounce a lot of that. Now I think we're at a level where, for me, I'm like, hey, does this sound good? And he's like, yeah, it's missing this and this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so all of a sudden I'm like, oh, fuck, he's right. Like, it's terrible. So that's really, really helpful. And if you can take the criticism and not get, you know, and feel like it's helping you grow and make your shit better more than feeling like somebody's insulting your shit because it's not good, I think it's really helpful.
I respect all that. That's dope. So I really appreciate you guys coming out. It's been really awesome.
Yeah, thank you very, very, very much for having us. We appreciate
you. Thanks for having us. Grateful for you, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the dots you connect.
Shout out Type 88. Right.
Much love, guys. It's cool because I see you guys really, really winning, but I was like, I got to interview these guys first because who even knows? Next year you may be in Argentina.
Love.
Mixing something with Daddy Yankee, you know, you just may have spoken into existence. So I was like, I gotta get these guys in the booth. They always have everyone else in the booth. I gotta interview them, get more of an insight.
Nice booth you got
what's
here,
important.
I'm saying, I'm cozy.
And shout out to Maker Park Radio. Super dope place. We're loving it here. Good news, Maker Park Radio just hit their Kickstarter goal. So shout out to everyone that supported. I believe there's like a few weeks left, so feel free to support it, put a buck up, whatever that buck is, just show some love. A lot of free hundreds of hours of free content.
Sick.
At your disposal. Maker Park Radio, show some love. You could even get Stereotype product for supporting.
Shout out Stereotype.
Much love. Yo, so yeah, pick it up. So yeah, support. If you hit the blue button or the yellow button, the blue button now, you could donate right directly to them, or you could go to the Kickstarter. So shout out to Chris and Tom and the whole Maker Park Radio fam.
Yeah, support these guys and these platforms. You know what I mean, guys? This is what gives everybody an opportunity to shine.
Much love, much love. So I guess you already hit us with some good advice.
Hopefully.
So I get this is my number one question I always ask people, like, so what are your goal? What's your goal for the year? And then maybe 5 years, and then maybe when you're like 60, which is probably like a few times over your age now. So like 1 year, 5 year, and then like 30, 40 years from now.
I'd like to get to 60. That's one goal. I want to make it.
I like there. That.
I don't know. I mean, just get to the top of the mountain, keep growing, keep creating, keep doing, you know?
I mean, I got some concrete things I could throw out there. I mean, you know, it's not necessarily, I'm more of a, like, enjoy the journey and, like, have fun along the way person than setting these milestones. But I think we could aim to get on the charts, you know, like Billboard Hot 100 in the next 12 months. That's a good, great goal for us. Maybe a Grammy in the next 5 years. That's your 5-year plan. And then, I don't know, when we're 60. Probably just chilling out,
really just
bro.
Alive, like,
island hopping or something
like that.
I want to be when I'm 60. I hope that by that time they've, you know, invented that pill that we all can take and we don't have to get older anymore. And I want to look just like this. I want to stay looking exactly like I do today. And, you know,
that's a blessing, man. So I'm gonna play a couple more records. Once again, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you for having us.
Everyone tuned in, please stay tuned. My homegirl Kitty, she's going to be rocking it, playing classics from the 50s, 60s. Always different vibes, always different themes. Make sure to stay connected. So I'm going to play this track called Sunlight by Chris Valentine. Yeah. We got a few minutes to rock, so much love.